God bless you.
God bless you.
Once again, we come together to learn of one another, to find in one another a true identity with God. But before we can do this, we must begin to learn to find a true identity within ourselves of God. And in order to do this, we must strip ourselves down, as we have said before. We must stand naked before one another, cleansed of all your misgivings, of all your inner inhibitions, of all your inner fears. And you must feel free to look at one another, not just as the fellow beings, but as the brothers and the sisters in God. You may say, but why must we do this? Why must we show ourselves to one another? Why can't we come together, as we always do, just as the individual people? I say to you this. Christ said, man know thyself. And in saying this, he was asking that man should truly know himself, so he can reveal himself to God and to mankind, for the true spiritual being he really is, the true perfect light, unblemished, untarnished by the material stigmas which are hang around in your aura, unless he is cleansed. He was asking man to cleanse himself, to reveal himself, to know himself, so that he can be a true personage, and therefore become a true revelation of the Spirit of God within. And so it is. Each and every one of you must sincerely look within yourself, and know yourselves, and so let your light so shine before men, that they may see your good works, and they glorify your Father which is in heaven. Do these things. I take a few words from his Last Supper, and I will add them to the end of what I have just said. Do these things in remembrance of him, so that you too can become a true likeness of the Spirit of Christ within, and also become a living example of his love here on earth. Do you understand what I am saying to you?
Yes.
You have chosen a pathway. You have chosen a new course of life, a new beginning. And we have opened wide the doors. But we cannot take this first step for you. This must be done by you. As we said the last time we talked, you must exercise your free will. Until you do this, then we cannot take your hand and bring you forward into a greater light of understanding. Did you understand this?
Yes.
Either one would ask a question.
Well, I'd like to start the ball rolling, Marcello.
Thank you.
With a little query from last week.
Bean.
I'm sure it'll help us all. You spoke of the instrument's time on this earth plane.
Bean.
And you gave him a name of Nehemiah.
Bean.
Now, we talked afterwards about this, because in our book we have a prophet, Nehemiah, and we couldn't understand whether you meant this one or was he just another Nehemiah. I think you said he was a bricklayer.
I say that to you, he was responsible to build the walls of Jerusalem.
That's right.
When they had been destroyed.
That's it.
Has he not the instrument also spoken to you of this old man which reflects in his mind with his staff?
Yes.
Is this answer for your question?
Thank you. You needn't go any further. Thank you. God bless you.
He's simple, is he not? Brother John.
God bless you, Marcello.
Will you talk with Marcello?
Yes.
I know there is a question in your heart.
Yes. Well, the reading tonight. Why was the earth created? And why did God make man?
Have you ever thought of asking God this, John?
Yes.
And has he given you your answer?
Yes.
He has. God created man in his own image. As you have said, in his own image he created man. He wanted man to evolve. He wanted man to grow. He wanted to create a new sphere of understanding, a new beginning, a new truth. He wanted to unfold to those of the spirit world the true examples of the limits of a man's lust and the limits of a man's love, the limits of man's deprivation and the limits of a man's spirituality and his awareness. Is this to make you happy, John?
Yes.
He wanted to create for man a place to evolve, a stepping stone, if you wish, into yet another level of the spiritual awareness and the spiritual light and the spiritual truth. He had a cause for his son, Jesus, as he was called. He had to set his son this task, to encourage man to glorify the Spirit, to evolve the Spirit. He had to set a living example of this. He had to live a completely pure life, because unless he did, as I have told you before, man would not have evolved. He would have gone down into the depths of the deprivation and degradation, corruption and purgatory. You understand this, Brother John? See? And so God created man. He had this to separate from the animal life, from the beasts and the birds and the creatures of the sea. So he created them in the most simple way he conceived. He created them in his own image. An image of life, an image of a manhood and of a womanhood, so you will say. But if you say this, you would be wrong. You would be wrong. He created a spirit light, a spirit presence, a spirit force housed in the body of man. The Spirit is in his own image to begin. And because the man corrupted this image, it was destroyed with the floods. And it began again. And he saw that all that was in Noah, his son, was pure and good. And he was pleased with this. And so he spared him. And certainly his family. Because they followed his path. And lived as he did. And he allowed them to progress and survive. Containing this spirit within. Which Noah, in his wisdom, honored. And kept pure. But still a man became a corrupt. And he sent many prophets in the form of Abraham, of Jacob, of Isaiah, of Elias, of Ezekiel, all these beautiful prophets and teachers who came to try to teach a man to understand. He sent to Moses to test man, to prove to man, through the plagues, through the miracles he worked, and still the man could not understand. So it was he put Christ on the earth to perform a life of a living example to man, as the man should be. So he may evolve in the true spirit of God and become as closer to God-like as he possibly can. Because we know it will not happen on this earth. And God knew this when he created this earth. But he has elevated man to such a degree now that those who are spiritually enlightened and aware will evolve so much easier and enter into his house without the fear of perishing on his passing and transition from this earth plane. And this is why I spoke to you as I did when I first come to you this time. It is so important that man must know himself, not just as a person, but he must know himself as a spirit, as a part of God. Is this answer for your question, Brother John?
Yes,
I do. Is you happy now?
Yes.
When I hear this little sound, I know something is not quite as you would wish.
No, it's something else. Male and female created he them.
See.
Is there in every man, in every woman, in every child, the Trinity of God? In other words, is there in every man, the woman and the child? Is there in every woman, the man and the child?
In all beings, said Brother John, there is the Spirit of God. There is a spark of God. He is the life force within each one. And if you exclude man and woman from what you have just said, and just talk of each other, because here is when you began, as a child. So what you are as a child, we would wish you would become as a man or as a woman. You understand this? We must try to remain as we begin, pure and trusting and innocent and clean, untouched, holy. As is every child. And this was made manifest for you at the birth of Christ. There is nothing more holy than a more newborn child. And I have him many times said, to look into the eyes of a child is to look into the eyes of God. And to touch the hand of a child is to touch the hand of God. For it is a strong, it is a pure, it is a gentle. It is unblemished. You understand this, Brother George? So you see, there is an equal part of all beings. Man's spirit and the love and the spirit and power of God are one, whether it be man or woman or child. All things are one in the eyes of God. Is this to make you happy?
I cannot understand why the scriptures talk about, it may be a metaphorical image of taking the rib from Adam to be to be made on the rib of man. This has always been a problem for me to understand. Why did God take, is it a metaphorical image? Why did God take a rib from Adam to make Eve?
Brother John, God did not tell the story of the creation of man. Man told this story.
Yes, that's true.
And man was a simple mind at this time. He was not evolved.
Yeah.
And his understanding was not as your understanding is today. And he would make up many things to create a picture in his mind of how these things began.
Yes.
The story you read was written by man and not God. It is enough to say that upon this earth God created living beings that they may evolve. If those of the hierarchy of your church and many who follow it wish to believe as a child of those times, then this must be so. They must continue to believe. But you are wise to ask these questions. For we know that it is of concern to you, and that it is necessary for you to clear this from your heart before you can progress completely. And I am happy you asked this. But please, see God and man and woman and the creation of all these things in such a way that it creates a happiness and contentment in your heart. And believe it so. Is this answer for your question, Brother
John?
Yes,
indeed. Yes, thank you.
You must be your own counsel in this. And keep your counsel closer to your heart. Understand this, Brother John?
Yes, but I have a duty to declare it to my flock.
Then search your heart and find within your understanding such knowledge as is required to teach men so. And we will help you, Brother John. You know this. And the Brother Augustus Emmanuel has already spoken in your heart. He has already spoken in your church. You understand it? So now are you content?
Yes, I am.
Bene, Marcello is content. Who else will talk now with you, Marcello?
if no one wants to speak, Marcello. I often wondered when Moses was so close to God and how close they worked together. He was shown the promised land, but was never allowed to go. I've often wondered why.
I take you once more back to the time of the trial of Christ. You know this, El Papale.
Yeah.
When Christ is saved, render unto Caesar those things which are Caesar's, and unto God those which are of him. You know this?
Yes.
So God had already spoken in the heart of Moses, and he had rendered unto man those things which were of a man. So he gave him this land of milk and honey, because this is all that man wanted at this time. But Moses knew in his heart that his place was closer to God, and that he was a chosen son of God, and a prophet in his cause. And so he rendered unto God that which was God's. He rendered unto him his spirit. And what better land is there than that? Do you understand yourself about
it? I do, yes.
You know, don't. He was receiving into himself a promised land far more beautiful than milk and honey.
Yeah.
And green pastures. He was receiving unto his self the love of God and the beauty of his realms. What a promise, what a land. I haven't reached it yet, but I will keep trying. You understand me?
Bless you, Marcello. Thank you.
Well, now we'll talk with Marcello.
This one question troubles me, Marcello. When you say that God created man in his own image, presumably he was a man himself. And if that was the case, where does he come from?
I wish I knew where he said God comes from. Like you, I am only a mortal, but a spiritual mortal. And I seek God in all things I do. Yes, I did say that God created man in his own image. But before I say this to you, Christopher, I said to him that if you believed that he created him or his creation into a human form was to create him in his image, then you would be wrong. He created him as a spirit in his own image. Is this make you happy now?
So the actual human form wasn't his creation. It was the spirit within the human form.
In his own image. See. But the human form he created to house this spirit, this likeness of him. You understand this, Christopher?
If I'm really honest, I don't know.
It's so simple. It's so simple. God is a tremendous life force. This is all we can tell. No one knows the true image of God, other than that he is a great divine light and life force and being. This is all we know. I am as you are. I am seeking. I am trying to find my God. And I am trying to come to close to him as I can. By prophesying to you and talking to you as close as I can, as Christ would have talked to easy. But of course, as I have said, I am not the Messiah. I am only an evolving spirit. As I have said, God is a tremendous force, and man must conceive him in his own understanding. He must create within himself his own image of God. You understand this, Greece?
Yes.
See. So, we take to understand that God put this spirit of man here on the earth, the spirit of man, in his own image. In other words, a part of his spirit, which he called man. Here on this earth. You understand this?
Yes, sir.
And so that he could be identified from all other creatures which were created, he gave him the form of man, a mortal body. He is not to say that man also has hands and feet and arms and legs, but he has the spirit. He is a spirit. He is a true and divine life force housed in the body of a man. Does this make you understand?
I can understand the spiritual side of it, but I keep thinking about Darwin's theory of evolution as far as the
Darwin, like Christopher, was only a man who could form his own conclusions, and he shared them. Whether he's right or wrong, is not for us to judge. I can only tell you from where I stand. And from what I have witnessed and experienced here in this place, and what I have told you, is this so? You understand it?
Yes.
And I have no doubt, if Darwin could return now, I think he would have changed his mind. Man is infallible. His theories may be sound, but his vision is not always clear. You understand it, Chris?
Yes, I do.
So, I will say to you, be yourself and understand God in your own way. And put aside the theories of others. Use them only as a measure of your understanding. This will make you happy, Greek.
Yes, it does. Thank you.
See. I feel beside me. We have a Marie. A spirit I have not felt a long time. Is it you would wish to talk with me? Once again.
Well, it is lovely to feel at one with you again, Marcello. I applaud all these questions that are coming to you, and I'm very interested in the answers. I don't have a question of my own at present. I'm just absorbing the lovely atmosphere. And it certainly feels like I've come back home.
Bene, Maria, sinotte. Eo Maria, you never left a home. You have always been in the heart of my center. Papari, I know you are thinking, time is short. So, if no one would wish to talk with myself, then I will take my leave of you.
I think it's been a lesson well taught, Marcella. I'm sure everyone is more than pleased with what you've said.
Beloved, I don't want you to go away from myself. we the troubled heart. Likewise, Obi Pare, I don't want the instrument also to go away with the troubled heart. He's a foolish boy.
I'm sure what I've got to say to him after what you said earlier is a lot.
Don't know what to say. See, I was listening to the instrument and he does get so confused. He was talking with Jacqueline, saying, he said, there is only one life, and yet Marcello talks of rebirth. Pain, mamma. What is this if it is not rebirth? Is he not been reborn? Tell him this.
Yes,
I will not go into any more depth of this. No. Unless, Brian, would you wish to talk with me on this? You think you could make an instrument understand this? I will take my leave of you now.
God bless you.
I want you to remember what Marcello has said. Know thyself. And know that you are indeed, through your spirit, say this for you, Christopher, through your spirit, a true image of God. Once you have stripped away those things of the earth, and you have raised your awareness to a new and brighter understanding. God loves man. If this were not so, he would not have created him. Also, if this were not so, he would not have tried to prevent him from becoming corrupt. And so it is that every little effort you make, every little endeavor on your part to come closer to him, is seen, is understood, and is acted upon according to God's holy will and laws, set aside for the evolvement of man. It is to make you happy.
Yes.
Shemana, I will leave you now. I bless you for receiving me among you. And I feel so humble and proud that you will allow me to come and talk with you in this way. God bless.
God bless you.
God bless you, my children.
God bless you.
At this time, you approach celebration of the crucifixion of Christ. At this time, we think about pain, the suffering, and yet the joy. For our Lord Jesus Christ hung upon the cross, depraved, beaten by man, ridiculed and scorned, pierced with a lance, suffering great pain, sorrow for man's sorrow. And yet I say, as he hung there was great joy in his heart. For he had in his heart the joy of knowing that he had fulfilled his task in God, that he had saved mankind from mankind, and that he had brought into the world a new life, the new understanding, the understanding of love. And on the third day, he brought to man a new understanding, yes. He brought to him the understanding of the living spirit. He brought to him the truth that even though man may destroy the mortal body, he cannot destroy that part of him which is of God. And man, coming to know this, and seeing for himself, as Thomas did when he placed his hands in the open wound, to prove to himself that Christ was indeed a risen spirit, great was his joy, and great again was the joy of Christ, to know that again he had proved his Father's word. Surely God was justified in thinking, well done, thou good and faithful servant. When you celebrate your Mass, think of the words of Augustus Emmanuel. And when you look upon your figure of the crucifixion, do not condemn it as a graven image. Do not decry it as an image of pain, but praise it as an image of a risen truth in man. Think of it as an image of Christ's glorification before man. But from this image there comes the joy of a rebirth of mankind understanding in the truth of God's everlasting love for those of his children on earth. Do you understand my message to you, my children?
Yes, thank you.
Look no more upon the crucifixion in condemnation, but look upon it with glory in your heart. For it was your salvation, and it is the symbol of your salvation. It is the symbol of the living truth of God. The spirit of man, as is the spirit of God, indestructible through man's foolishness. And from suffering and pain, there comes the joy of knowing that you will rise again to perform his will, and to perform his oaths, and to serve the Lord your God here on earth. Christ said to man, I am not come to destroy, but to fulfill. Can you not say this to your brother when he is in doubt and in fear of God? Can you not touch his hand and know that in him there is the Spirit of God and the living truth of Jesus Christ our Lord? Take these things into your heart and allow them to manifest within you, and stand your candle in a candlestick upon a hill, so that there may be light all around. Not under a bushel. May the love of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit rest and remain with you and dwell forever in your heart. And may you understand these words and create from them a way of life pleasing to the eyes of God. Shall we join now and talk with the Father? O Lord, Thou who art the Creator of all things, create in these Thy children a spirit of peace and love and an eternal understanding of your joy and love in Christ Jesus, Thy Son, that this love may become manifest in their hearts and inspire them to do Thy will. In Thy name and in Thy holy cause for mankind. Dear Lord our Father, in Thy name I bless each and every one of these Thy children, that they may see the light of Thy love within their hearts, and they may receive the joy and the sorrow and the pain, that they may know that Thou livest in them from this time forth and even forevermore. Enrichen their being, O Father. Touch their understanding and their recognition of themselves in Thee. May it be Thy will, O Lord, that Thine eternal grace shall dwell within their hearts and homes, and shall uplift them and strengthen them and glorify their holy cause in Thee. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, who is manifest in the only one true living God, that we may know and learn of Him and understand that we are Thy children, born of Thy peace and of Thy grace. May the Lord bless you. May the Lord make His light to shine upon you. May He make His countenance to dwell upon you and within you. And may He bless you from this day forth and even forevermore. Through Christ Jesus' love. Amen.
Amen.
God bless you, my children.
God bless you.